Accession number 19095, Reel 3.
Alan Hiscock, Reel 3. You said that you spent the rest of 42 and 43 in India. What kind of work were you doing?
Well, it was partly in India, partly in Burma, of course, because it was across the Indian frontier in the Naga Hills and in the Chin Hills. And in the first place, we had to improve communications, and I found myself undertaking making of jeep tracks up into Ukrul, which later became the scene of very fierce battles as the Japanese attacked subsequently into that area. That was about 50 or 60 miles east of Imphal. But also, our unit and the whole of the division were sent southwards about 150 miles to Tidim, which was, of course, just inside the Burma border. And we improved communications there.
And was this with 70 Company?
Yes, all with 70 Company. 70 Company, all in 17th Indian Division. And it was interesting to see that the lessons of the long retreat were learnt very quickly, and units were reorganized, and especially 17th Division was made into a light division, and we were 70 Field Company was still part of that division, and I was engaged in supporting the brigades which were forward of Tidim, which, as I say, was about 150 miles south of Imphal, a hell of a long way, actually. And we were building roads and bridges there, and we were supporting the forward brigades in the Tidim and what is called Fort White areas, which were part of original battles when Burma was occupied in the early 19th century, in the 1820s, oddly enough. Anyway, there was a great deal of patrolling going on, and a certain amount of casualties. I had none in my unit at that time, in my section, but there was constant probing by the division against the Japanese, and this went on until the Japanese decided to attack in force, funnily enough, exactly the same time that we decided to attack them in force. So gradually the scenario was set for the major battles which occurred around the Imphal Plain, and that was in,
well, that was early 1944.
Yes, early 1944, that's right.
Don't worry about dates.
No, I was just trying to get it in perspective. So by that time I had moved from 17th Division in the autumn of 43, and I went into Four Corps Troops, and eventually, of course, we were all engaged in the battle for Imphal, having drawn in all our troops, all our units, to places like Tidim, because they were too far out to withstand a major attack by the Japanese. And of course one will remember perhaps that the Japanese until very late in the day had a feeling that they would attack Imphal and get as far as the railhead at Dimapur, and that they would use that as the base for an attack on India itself. This was very much in the thought of the commanding general in the Burma army, in the Japanese Burma army, I should say. And it was only after the defeat of the Japanese around Imphal that the Japanese had realized that they had shot their bolt, and they could not hope to carry on into India, and indeed they were forced to retreat.
What role did your Senti company play in the fight for Imphal?
Well, they were up, they were still engaged in the retreat in the Tidim area, and they came back to Bishampur, which was on the beginning of the Tidim road, and they were much involved there, really, in that in the battles around Bishampur on the very beginning of the Tidim road, because they had been involved, or we had been involved, in a lot of the work and fighting on the in Tidim and then Fort White and all those places. But then everybody was drawn back in to Imphal in order to better combat the attack by the Japanese.
Were you in the siege of Imphal?
Yes. Yes, I was there all the time, really. And I had moved then from 17th Division to the Corps Troops, where I was a field, what's called a field engineer, a captain in that headquarters.
What was it like in the siege of Imphal?
Well, it was. There was a good deal of aerial activity at various times, a good deal of attack and counter-attack. The infantry and tanks, of course, took the brunt of that. And funnily enough, the Japanese had managed to bring some of their tanks all the way down to the battles on the Tidim Road, down near Imphal. What it was like, well, it was just I guess like any other static battle. And it was clear that the decision to stand at Imphal was correct, and that it was quite correct to withdraw people from outlying places, and there were one or two unfortunate incidents. I spoke a little while ago about the work on the what they call the Ukrul track, and in the Naga Hills, and there was the Battle of Kohima, of course, depended, was joined by the Japanese coming in from the river through Ukrul, and there was a lot of fighting around Ukrul, including a very famous battle which was fought by airborne troops and led to a deal of controversy subsequently.
What is this unfortunate incident you were going to mention?
Well, it was a battle around a place called Sunshuk, which was a little way away from Ukraine, but still in the Naga Hills. And there were a number of descriptions of this Battle of Sunshuk, which rather implied that it hadn't been very well handled. But of course, I think this was later proved to be wrong, and that it had in fact been extremely well handled, but there were some heavy casualties there.
And in fact, you in this battle?
No, I wasn't, no. No, I was in Imphal, in the Imphal box then. And this word box, of course, is another peculiarity. It was decided that one of the best ways to combat Japanese infiltration was to form boxes, or small or large areas, really, of heavily defended positions, which would prevent the Japanese from infiltrating and getting behind our troops. And if they did get behind, it didn't matter, because we had a box and were able to fight all around the box. And of course, the Imphal was an enormous box, and the siege of Imphal was failed, really, because of the measures taken by the commanders, the British commanders, to ensure that there were no unfortunate incidents of people being routed out of their positions.
What were your duties in this core work when you were in the Imphal box?
Well, it was the usual thing of coordinating work by engineer units, which were under command of CRE Four Corps troops. And I was on his staff, making sure that the work that we required was being done properly and was being properly supervised and so on, because we had other field companies under command of Four Corps troops. There were very similar to 70 Company, but not in a division, but in a core role, in a Four Corps troops role.
What kind of work were engineers doing in the Imphal?
Well, maintaining water supply and maintaining roads and so on. It was normal engineer tasks, really.
What did maintaining water supply involve?
Well, I think you have to be aware that all water in an area like Imphal was probably contaminated, and in order to try and reduce the number of sick, you had to be sure that the water was properly chlorinated and filtered and so on, and that it was in easy reach of the various recipients. It was one of the worst things about the fighting, or about the occupation of Imphal and the Imphal plain, was the fact that so many people became sick. A very high proportion of people went down with various kinds of dysentery and malaria and so on, although funnily enough the Imphal Plain had not really been a malarial area before. But nevertheless, one has to be sure that whatever precautions, one has to be sure that the causes of sickness are dealt with before they cause the sickness too much. And a very high proportion of people became sick in the Imphal area and along the Tidim Road and so on. And the problem was partly getting people back, because if people went off sick, very ill, into hospitals in the base area in Assam, they might be away for months, even though they're only in hospital for a few days. And so it was very important to keep health measures on a maximum discipline, so that you didn't lose your troops from just drinking the contaminated water in which some bodies or something had been left.
Was the water in Imphal piped water or spring water or reservoir water or what?
Well, it was. We used some tube wells, and we erected water supply units, water supply points, with pure water in them as much as we could, and it was a very, very important part of the whole scenario, that people could get drinkable water.
So the engineers were sinking tube wells and sticking a tap on the end?
No, they were pumped, actually.
And would the water which was pumped up be pure, or would it then have to be purified?
It would have to be purified many cases, because you see that the water table in that area is quite high, really, and so you're never quite sure what you've got there. So
how would it be
anyway,
purified?
It was quite a big, yes, it was purified by filtration and chlorination, but not only tube wells, but water could be pumped from the lakes, which of course were all over Imphal, or all over the Imphal Plain. The Manipur Plain, I should say.
So were you organising the supply of chemicals to purify the water?
Oh yes, that sort of thing. But that wasn't our only task, of course, but it was a very important one. And keeping up communications which had been damaged, and enabling troops to move about, and repairing bridges and so on.
Any incidents you can remember in the siege of Imphal that happened to you or that you witnessed?
I can't think of any just offhand, although there were incidents all the time, every day, but it just escapes my memory.
Were you acting, did you ever fire a rifle or a weapon?
In Imphal? Occasionally, but very rarely.
What kind of targets would you have when you fired?
Well, if somebody shot at us, we'd try and shoot back. But we weren't involved in any actual set battles. That's what I'm really saying.
So someone would take a pot shot at an engineer's party, you mean?
Oh, yes, they might take a pot shot at anything that one is doing, but nevertheless, the whole meaning of the Imphal box was that everybody should be in his place, everywhere should be properly defended, and in the case of a Japanese attack, you would be able to respond from you wouldn't be wandering about not knowing what to do. You'd have your fixed positions to hold, and that was certainly the case of all the engineer units that were in Imphal.
Did you think that you might not get out of the siege?
Never occurred to us. We knew that we were winning. It's the most extraordinary thing, really. But we knew that we would win. And, of course, we knew that the Japanese were having a lot of difficulties themselves. There was no secret in that. And we knew the reason why we had formed the Imphal box and why we were there, and we went out in penny packets all over the place, like down in Tidim, for instance, although we reoccupied Tidim afterwards, I can tell you. But nevertheless, it was a very, very sound decision to concentrate where we were and not to be picked off in penny packets by infiltrating Japanese. In fact, I think it was quite early on that we began to see that the Japanese were really going to have big problems. And then when, after the Imphal siege, and we advanced again eastwards through Ukraine and through the Naga Hills and southwards back down to Tamu, we began to see enormous numbers of Japanese who had died on the way, ambulances full of dead Japanese and so on. And it was very plain that the Japanese were having a very, very bad time from the point of view of casualties. But of course, they did succeed to a limited extent at various times.
So after the Imphal siege, did you continue with your job for Four Corps?
Yes, and then I stayed there until we advanced down to the Chinwin, and I transferred to 33 Corps. And I eventually got out of Corps, out of the Chief Engineer's headquarters, and back into a unit where I wanted to be. And I was second in command of a field company, and by the time we reached Rangoon, I had my own field company, 76th Field Company, again. And we were occupied by improving the airport, or the airfield, at Mingladun near Rangoon. That was my final task before I went back on leave for a time. And during that time, we dropped the bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
What was the advance through Burma like for you, personally?
Well, it was it was extraordinary, really. Very few of us actually came and went. Some did in 17 Div, but the great majority of people coming down to Rangoon were people who had never fought the other way or never moved the other way. So it was interesting to see that.
How were the Burmese reacting as you came back through Burma?
Well, they'd begun to change their mind a bit when they saw that we were going to win, and it was clear we were going to win. Then there was a definite change of heart, and Aung San began to feel that perhaps he was backing the wrong horse. But it wasn't until later, after the end of the Japanese occupation of Burma, it wasn't until much later, in 46-47, that it was clear that Aung San would become the leading figure in Burma, and indeed I remember very well in 1947, just before he was assassinated, he came to see us in our Burmese unit, engineer unit, which we had raised and trained. He came to see us, and it was very interesting indeed to see him. And then, so it was perfectly clear then that Burma would become a place ruled by Aung San. But then a few days later, there he was assassinating. And so that really started another series of upsets and armed insurrections in Burma itself. And of course, these armed insurrections have been going on ever since.
Where did you meet Aung San?
In our own unit. He came to have lunch with us one day.
Where was this, in Myint Kaw Dun?
No, it was... I've skipped over a year. After we reached Myint Kaw Dun, or Rangoon, I should say, just before the dropping of the atomic bombs and the final Japanese surrender, then I was on leave in England. But I came back to Burma and set about raising Burmese units for Aung San's Burma. And so what we did, this was in 1946. Late in 1945, I came back to Burma, and I was then made responsible for raising or re-raising a Burmese engineer unit called Burma Sappers and Miners, or Burma Engineers. This we did in Maemyo, in Upper Burma, the old hill station. And one of our tasks was to try and find any Burmese or Burman people who had served in the pre-war engineer unit called Burma Sappers and Miners. So we did actually look around, and oddly enough, quite a number of the old Burma Sappers and Miners, or Burma engineers, came to join us. And we set about training them in modern ways, and they were very good people. Some were Karens and some Burmese. And that progressed quite well, and we increased the throughput, and we had quite a good unit being formed.
How did you make contact with them?
I beg your pardon?
How did you find them?